2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans. For Cougar fans. Cougar Sports Saturday. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Cougar fans, what's going on? And welcome into a special edition Cougar Sports Saturday podcast, basketball edition. We got to get on the pod, Mitch, to talk about one of the biggest matchups on BYU's basketball schedule, Gonzaga and BYU, their first meeting of the year coming Thursday night, which you can watch at 9 p.m. Mountain Time on ESPN. You can listen to it, too, if you're in the state of Utah or even online, KSL News Radio. It's the 29th meeting between these programs. Gonzaga holds a 21-7 advantage. They've won three straight, though I don't think that's saying much because that's just three games last year in a really awkward season, Mitch, in which two of those three meetings were on the fly. It was crazy. But no doubt Gonzaga's had their way with BYU throughout their history. But also, kind of a side note to that, a lot of BYU success against Gonzaga has come on the road as big underdogs, which is exactly where BYU finds himself in their first matchup of the year.
It's always a great matchup. It's one of the premier matchups in the West Coast Conference. I think it is the premier matchup, honestly. And I think it's one of the best matchups out in the Western United States of college basketball. I think every Cougar fan just hopes that BYU doesn't get blown out against Gonzaga, because I think the last two visits in the Mark Pope era at the Kennel, BYU has not been competitive. You know, last year they were down big before the first media timeout. 2 years ago, they lose by 23 points. BYU just has not shown well against the Zags outside of that one win, which was a memorable win, a magical win in the Marriott Center, and then that game in Vegas last year where BYU was 20 minutes away from claiming its first conference tournament title in 20 years. But ultimately, the Zags, who were loaded last year, even more than they usually are, took over in the second half. But this is going to be a game that's a measuring stick, as it always is, and I think it's a chance for BYU this weekend to get a little bit of a dress rehearsal, a appetizer of what life will be like in the Big 12 Conference when you're staring down a road trip weekend that'll consist of two NCAA tournament teams, two games where you're going to be an underdog in. That's going to be life in the Big 12, and it's a good test for this program to see if that non-conference schedule really has tested them to the level that they're ready for this challenge.
I think it'll be also a good test looking through the lens of this BYU team played a really challenging preseason schedule, and they had some nice wins. That San Diego State win at the beginning of the year started to look really nice, and what they were able to do, especially post the injury to Gavin Baxter. We talked about this after the win against St. Mary's, Mitch, but for most of December, it looked like BYU was lost and they didn't know what they were doing. And then last weekend with wins over Pacific and St. Mary's, you kind of felt like, hey, maybe they're finding some rotations. Maybe some guys are getting comfortable. So I think this will be a really good test to see, hey, how is Foose Traore going to handle this type of matchup? Because BYU is going to be really undersized at that 4 and 5 position. So how can BYU rebound? Well, because I guess St. Mary's, they were also undersized against St. Mary's. They out-rebounded St. Mary's up until the end. And then at the very end, St. Mary's and their size really took control, but it was only a 6-rebound advantage for St. Mary's. And I was really impressed with what BYU was able to do in the glass. Gonzaga is a much better rebounding team than St. Mary's. So they're one of the best defensive rebounding teams in all of college basketball. They're fifth in the country in rebound margin. They average nearly 43 rebounds a game. So how can BYU rebound against the size of Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy and that delicious yet disgusting mustache from Timmy? That's what I want to see, because, look, I don't think they're going to win this game, but you want to be taking steps forward because you get them back in the Marriott Center, and then where you really want to get them is in the tournament. So if you can learn some things about your team now and think about the – not so much the macro, but, hey, can we rebound against them? Can we shoot the three? Do these things that you have to do to beat them, and then you get two more cracks at them later in the year.
One thing that gives me some sort of hope for BYU's cause in this game is that this Gonzaga team is more – beatable than last year. There's no Jalen Suggs on this year's Gonzaga. Drew Timmy, National Player of the Year candidate. Chet Holmgren has not been up to the lofty, out of this world expectations, hasn't lived up to that. I don't think it was realistic for him to live up to that type of hype, but he's still pretty dang good. I mean, averaging 13 points, shooting 61% from the field. He's going to be a top five pick no matter what. But still, like, this team is younger, Gonzaga, and they could be had because I think their guard line, BYU, can match up with them, I would like to think, because Alex Barcelo, T. John Lucas, they've been through it all in their college careers. They face more adversity than the likes of the Gonzaga backcourt that features Nembhard, who BYU, interesting enough, a couple years ago, out of the portal, recruited him a little bit. Didn't get much time of the day to BYU, but ends up going with Gonzaga. He's going to be a tough out, but I think BYU's got the backcourt that's equipped to match up with Gonzaga better this year, because Jalen Suggs was a problem. I mean, he took over last year in that second half in Vegas, and you just realize, like, BYU doesn't see that type of talent very often, like, ever in the history of BYU basketball. They've been in leagues outside of power conferences, and it's just you don't see that level of talent on the guard line. Gonzaga doesn't have that this year, and that's what gives me some hope that BYU could, you know, after the last under four media timeout, could be within striking distance and have a chance. They come into this game as a 13.5-point underdog, and, you know, I feel like they could, I don't know, it's not our medium to really get onto that sort of thing, but I think BYU could keep it under 10. I don't think that would be completely shocking.
Well, I agree. However, there are some things that they have to do in this game that they have not done in a while. And they can't start slow. Like, they didn't start fast against Pacific, and they were even slower against St. Mary's. And luckily, their defense kind of took in, and they were able to rebound the basketball, and they held St. Mary's to 9 points in the last 17 minutes of play in the first half. So, look, St. Mary's can't even hold a candle to what Gonzaga can do offensively. So if you start slow, and Coach Pope has talked about this repeatedly, these guys, you know, you like blink and it's 20 to nothing. If that happens, forget about it, because this team just doesn't have, I don't think, the tools to dig away from that kind of hole. And then another thing that they have to do well that they weren't able to do against St. Mary's, but it didn't matter. You can't make 1 3-point shot and beat Gonzaga. It was an uncharacteristic game for Alex Barcelo, 0-5 from downtown. You just can't have that. And look, Barcelo's gotten a lot of praise for his defensive effort and for his work on the glass, and that he should, because he's really taken a leap in that category, Mitch. But if you want to beat the likes of Gonzaga, you got to shoot well. It's a, same goes for Tijon. Same goes for Trevin Nell. And Trevin Nell, by the way, quietly averaging, what, 10 points a game over his last five? So he's a guy that maybe is starting to become consistent. But, man, you got to shoot the three. And you don't have to jump out to a big lead. You just can't go down 20 to nothing. So, you know, at St. Mary's, you know, being down 7 to nothing kind of felt like 20 to nothing, even though – it was so early, you can overcome that pretty quickly with a couple of shots. But you come, if you go down like that in the kennel against Gonzaga, I don't know if this team can come back from that.
Along with making shots, Matt, what else do you think are going to be some keys to victory or keeping this thing tight? Let's say keeping keys to victory. I mean, that's BYU still going in to try to win this thing. They've won there before. They can do it again. What's going to be the other keys?
Yeah, for me, I've already touched on it, but rebounding. I mean, to me, the whole game comes down to rebounding because Gonzaga, as I mentioned, you look across the rebounding statistics nationally, Gonzaga's name is peppered all across those statistics. They are really good, and it's because of that length, the Chet Holmgren and Drew Timmy. However, BYU, they don't have that 6'10", 6'11 presence. And, you know, side note, I'm really interested to see what Atiki is going to do in this. He's going to play. I thought Atiki was arguably one of the best players in the win against St. Mary. He's going to play, but you need Seneca Knight, Gideon George, Caleb Lohner, these hybrid forward guards to be able to rebound. And so if you can keep the rebounding margin within 5, then I think sub 4 minutes, you'll have a chance. But if you get blasted on the glass like they've done, I mean, the rebounding margin's 11. They're fifth in the country. If they are rebounding by 11, you're not winning the game. So the key to me is rebounding even more so than three-point shooting. What about you?
They got to get off to a fast start. That's obvious. Mark Pope's talked about that a ton. I think Caleb Lohner's got to be – he's got to insert himself in the offense, and he's got to knock down some shots. I think that's critical. He talked about that this week at practice, and I got to say I respect how honest he was about it. I mean, he realizes that he's not numb or immune to what – he's been doing on the offensive end. He just hasn't played well on that side of the ball in terms of shooting the basketball. There's other areas, yes, that you can point to and say that go beyond the box score where he is having an impact in games, because I do believe that. I mean, his presence, you have to account for him. But, like, as far as shooting the rock, teams are not – they're baiting Lohner to shoot the ball, and that's causing situations where Alex Barcelo doesn't have the space to really operate the way that we were seeing him against Oregon and put up those offensive numbers that we saw in November. So Lohner's got to come up big. And I think this is the game where he's got to be great. And I don't think it was any surprise in practice when Mark Pope goes to him and we had the chance to watch practice. And it's like you got to put a body on Timmy. You got to be ready. Like they simulated Nick Robinson, assistant, as Drew Timmy, and Pope made sure to call out Lohner. Like, he is critical to this game. Caleb Lohner has to have his best game of the season. If BYU is going to win this, Lohner has to be the preseason All-WCC player that he was predicted to be. That's got to show up in the kennel. If it doesn't, well, then it's probably going to go to according to plan, and BYU loses by 13, 14, maybe even 20. So he's got to be big. And I think I can't emphasize that enough because I feel like Lohner is such a difference maker. If he can find his stride on shooting the rock like he did last year in conference play, this is a second-round team that can get to the round of 32, and anything can happen after that in the NCAA tournament. But without that, it's hard to imagine the high, lofty ceiling that BYU wants to reach if Lohner isn't great.
I don't know if that's realistic, just because what he – if you haven't heard his comments from earlier – in the week, I highly recommend listening to them, but he's playing out of position, and I commend him for being a team first guy. All he wants to do is win, and I believe him when he says that, because that's sports cliche. I just want to win. I really believe Caleb Lohner when he says I just want to win, but he is playing out of position, and he has most of his career, and he said that playing out of position has played a role on his offensive struggles, and I think he's not going to play power forward in the NBA. That's no. Just not where – that's not where he – but that's what he's playing now. So I feel like the only way to solve Caleb Lohner's offensive woes are to put him back at the position he's meant to play. Because in high school, Dave Rose was on with us, Mitch, and we talked about Caleb Lohner, and they were like, Caleb Lohner could do it all when we were recruiting him out of high school. He could shoot the three, he could hit the mid-range, he could get to the rim. You don't see any of that. And I think a lot of that stems from, we need you to defend, rebound, play the four, screen and roll. He's a guy who can handle the ball, and you never see him bring the ball up the court. The second he gets a rebound, top potato, out of here. I wanted to have a big game, and you're right, he has to for them to win. I just don't think it's realistic, because I think him playing the role he's playing on this team is one of the most significant reasons to his offensive decline. Until that's fixed, I don't know if Caleb Lohner is going to be fixed offensively. So that might be a chore for the offseason, but I really want to see him at small forward more. It's just, he's been pigeonholed into this low post power forward role. That's not Caleb Lohner's game. That's not his strength. He can do it, but that's not his strength.
I agree. And I think that that's going to be the challenge for BYU. Definitely, like I said, in the offseason to build up the talent, the depth in that front court so where he can play his true position. But for right now, he's number four in the four spot. And you hope that it can find his groove offensively, because I think he's just needed. He's such a talented player that, we had Matt Harms back on in the spring, and would love to see Matt Harms on this BYU team, because that would have been a difference. But, he said that Lohner's got NBA talent, and Lohner's just got endless potential. Everyone that you talk to about Caleb Lohner, just nothing but endless praise for that guy. But, it's a new game, and BYU is in a great spot, too, as far as their resume, their metrics, everything is in a good spot to where you go into the kennel, it's a road game, it's a complete bonus. If you win it,
yes,
what a meteoric rise you're going to take, and away we go on the rocket ship of BYU basketball. Fans will be more enthused than ever before this season. So what do you think? What's going to be the final score? How's this game going to ultimately play out, you think?
Well, go Gonzaga by 10. I think that BYU will hang around and have some opportunities to make it interesting. But I think ultimately the size of Gonzaga and being on the road is going to be too challenging for BYU. You?
I think Gonzaga jumps out early on BYU, and BYU plays better in the second half, but it's too little too late. I just think that
we've Gonzaga, seen that before. Yeah, huh?
I think that's just going to be, I think Gonzaga is going to come out hungry, ready. I mean, they had three games in WCC play that had been postponed. Due to COVID-19 issues in their program. They haven't played much lately, so I think they're going to try to make a statement. Jay Billis is on the call from the TV side, along with Dave Fleming, so it's a pretty good TV crew for college basketball standards. It's just another chance for the Zags to kind of show their dominance again. They've played a tough schedule, the Zags have, with some top-end elite teams. Not the night-in, night-out grind that BYU has faced, but they've played the best of the best in non-conference. And, of course, the Zags have navigated that quite well with only two losses this season. So I think Gonzaga wins by 12. I think BYU makes it interesting and stretches in the second half. But I just think that Gonzaga in the post is just far too much for this BYU team. Well, I don't think Foose is going to be afraid of the stage. I think he'll show well. I just think that BYU also shooting the three ball, there hasn't been enough games and enough data to suggest that BYU is going to flip the switch and suddenly become this knockdown three-point shooting team like we saw them in Vegas in that first half against the Zags, because I think that's kind of needed to not be that good, but I mean somewhere close to how efficient they were shooting the three ball. And I just think going into this game, I can't bank on that right now, so I'm going to say the Zags by 12.
Let's end on this, Mitch, and this has been a special edition Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be back talking about this game and a lot more football news, of course, on Cougar Sports Saturday, this Saturday, noon to 3 on KSL News Radio. If BYU were to win, and maybe you answer this with Caleb Lohner, BYU were to win, which unsung hero do you think shines and kind of makes a name for themselves in this game?
I'll go with Lohner because I just feel like he's such a difference maker for this program, the expectations on him. He's an all-conference caliber talent. I know the league does 10 players, which is dumb, but he's that good. I mean, Lohner is a special, special player. That's why when he flipped his pledge from Utah to BYU, Ute fans conjured up every conspiracy theory known to man to derail it and try to make it seem like it was some heinous, you know, nefarious deal that was going on behind the scenes. It wasn't. It was just Lohner had a change of heart, and that's what it was. But that's how good he is. I mean, he's a program changer, and so I'm going to go with Lohner. What about you?
For me, it's Gideon George. I think he's got the capability to have a double-digit rebound game, and he has the capability to hit three or four threes and get hot. So we've seen him shoot the three a lot better since his time on the magnificent, life-changing island of Oahu, Hawaii. I mean, that place will just do wonders for everybody. I know we've said this before on the show, but Hawaii will make everyone a better person after a few moments spent there. And I think that's applied to Gideon George. So if BYU is to win, I think off the bench, Gideon would have to play big.
I'm excited for Gideon. You know, I think that it hasn't always been pretty. I think coaches even have been candid about that, that his style of play makes you sometimes go, no. Oh, okay, that's fine. That worked out all right. Like, it's kind of that style, but it sometimes works. And but he feels like he's kind of been communicating more and on the floor, and I think that he's kind of got a comfort level with the program, and he's got obviously a ton of room to grow. It'll be interesting to see what happens after this year too with his eligibility, because he could run it back one more year, but he's listed as a senior. So yeah, you hope that Gideon continues to grow and continue to develop, because yeah, he's got a track record of big games on the road winning for BYU, like San Francisco last year, St. Mary's last year. Two of the toughest venues in the league, you can point to him as being the key cog to winning those games a season ago. So maybe he could do it again.
All right. He's Mitch Harper. I'm Matt Biamonte for our producer, Dallin Graff. Dallin, do you want to chime in here? Any final thoughts, unsung hero, before we go?
I'm pretty much right on board with you guys. I think it's probably about 10 to 12 point loss for BYU. I just look at the defensive side. If the defense of BYU could show up in a way that he did against St. Mary's, then I think the Cougars have a shot. Obviously, Gonzaga second in the NCAA in scoring, their first in field goal percentage. But BYU, a top 20 defense. They're holding opponents to just 38% from the field. They're holding opponents to under 62 points. So if that sort of defense can show up and BYU can sort of have a dogfight, grind it out type of game, then they might see themselves with an opportunity at the end. But this is a feel it out, get a taste, you know, Fu Satiki. This is baptism by fire against this front court for Gonzaga, and then, you know, you hope you come back to Provo, you give them a better look, and then you can get them in Vegas at the conference tournament.
Good stuff, Dallin. All right, thanks Cougar fans for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe to the pod, follow us, Mitch _ Harper, Biamonte Matt, and Dallin, do you have a KSL Twitter? No, I'm kidding. Little thought for Dallin. And we'll have you covered for BYU and Gonzaga Thursday, 9 p.m. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.